released MIMO, but when I rehearsed my presentation, I saw that probably I will not reach the MIMO, so I'll leave it on the presentation. This is mostly the work of my PhD student, Yiftach Richter. And what I want to talk to you about Is it better? Okay. So what I want to talk about is how can we derive an optimal routing scheme. And basically, unlike most of the routing works that you've seen, we will not assume a routing scheme and then show that it is good or then try to optimize it. What we will do is write the performance metric of the network and find the routing scheme that actually optimizes it. Now, as I struggled to understand the presentations in the last few days, I'm sure that all of you understand the underlying mathematics. So I will skip most of the mathematics and show basically the channel, the system modeling and the main results. And I want to start with the disclaimer. I talked about optimal routing. We don't really know to do optimal routing as a whole problem. We need to limit the problem. So we'll discuss only a geographically based routing, where we know the locations and the routing is based on the locations of the node. And even that is not enough. We'll also discuss only the case that each node only have a local knowledge on its surrounding. And then it just decides on the next hop in order to get the message closer to the destination. But once that is said, we can actually write the performance metric and optimize it. So, oh, that's not good. Okay, there was supposed to be some dots in this figure. So we assume a slotted Aloha MAC protocol in which each node decides to transmit with the probability PTX. The nodes are distributed on the plane according to a homogeneous Poisson point process. We'll consider both single or multiple antennas. And what you don't see here is the description of the local knowledge that we have. Actually, you don't see even the equation. Let me just see. No, the rest is reasonable. Okay. So what we assume about the local knowledge is that each node that decides to transmit and wants to decide which will be the next relay for a message knows its neighborhood. And we describe the only thing that you see here is actually this neighborhood. The neighborhood is some kind of circle. The node knows in this neighborhood the location of each neighboring node and the channel metrics or channel gain between this transmitter and each potential relay. This is the only knowledge available in order to make the routing decision. Now, to derive our performance metric, unlike most of the work that was presented in the last few days, we prefer the ergodic rate model. Basically, in cellular networks, most of the retransmissions are not only retransmissions, but they do different encoding and they get much closer to that. And there are many justifications or things to say against the ergodic rate, but I think that we can agree that it is achievable. It is at least an upper bound, and I admit that it requires higher complexity and higher delay. Now, in our point of view, it's also convenient for analysis in the sense that we do not need to select a rate in advance. When we're doing outage analysis, we need to select a rate and then check if we can achieve this rate or not in each transmission. On the ergodic rate analysis, we just get what the channel take what the channel gives us, and there's no additional parameter. Now, of course, many of you are aware of the fact that this expectation has no closed form expression, but in the recent years, you have quite a good bounce on this. I don't know if you see it here. These are three different examples of these bounds. And the nice thing about these bounds are, first of all, that they're very simple, and second of all, that the lower bound and upper bound follow exactly the same shape. So it gives us a very nice description of the behavior, and it's also was very appealing for us. So using this ergodic rate, we want to consider also routing, and this will be our performance metric, where basically we take the expectation over a rate multiplied by distance. So if you want to consider also routing, the distance can't be the same for all transmissions. We say that having higher rate is better because it will save us transmissions of other messages, and having a larger distance is better because we will do less hops. So the performance metric is just what's written here. We call it density of rate and progress. The function f describes the routing. Basically, f is a function of m, and m is the set. It was part of what was missing on that slide. The set of our local knowledge. And the output is just the index of the next hop. This formulation assumes that we do opportunistic relaying, meaning that we assume that we have a very long buffer. We first allow ourselves to pick a good relay, whatever the direction may be, and then we assume that our buffer is large enough and full, and we will have a message to transmit to each such direction. Of course, it requires a very large delay, so we assume no delay constraints in here. We also assume implicitly that we have some mobility. We don't take it into it. It's implicit because it doesn't affect the communication. During each slot of communication, we assume that each of the nodes is static. We don't assume that this mobility helps us in moving the messages, but we assume that we have enough mobility so that the expectation over different network realization is meaningful, so that we're not stuck in any difficult position. Or if we're stuck, we will wait long enough and it will be okay. But if you look at this performance metric, this is already the answer to what I promised you. So basically, this is the peak of the presentation, and from here we will only go down. This is the performance metric, and what we want to do is to maximize it, to find the routing function that optimizes it. But basically, all that we need to do is condition on our local knowledge, and then we can take the expectation on all other possible local knowledges outside. But this is already a function of this local knowledge. So what maximizes that is the optimal routing function. And we can write this optimal routing function. And I think that's the peak because it's not common to find a routing function that we know that at least in some sense it is optimal. And it brings this performance metric to its exact maximum. And note that once we know this local knowledge, then basically, we need to consider this for each of the candidate relays. And this is the distance of this relay. This is part of our knowledge. This is the gain for this relay, which is again part of our knowledge. What we don't know is the actual interference power. Our knowledge tells us something, tells us exactly what will be its statistics, but we need to take the expectation with respect to that. Yes?
That's a good question. So how are you encoding making progress in the right direction?
Well, in this version, we assume that every direction is right, in the sense that we assume that we have a long enough buffer so that we have a message to transmit to each of the directions. And then we can decide which message to transmit after we chose the direction. This is more of the asymptotic version. It's easy to extend it to choosing a message first, and then instead of putting here the distance, we'll just put the progress in the correct direction. And now, why do I say that from here we'll start going down? Because this is what we know to do in the optimal sense. But as engineers, we want something that we can give to the network engineer, and he can code it into its routing decision. And this is something which not only that it doesn't have any closed form, even evaluating it, for example, using a Monte Carlo simulation, there was a figure here originally. It's complicated, and the reason that it's complicated is that there is a different distribution inside of our neighborhood and outside of our neighborhood. So maybe I'll take a pen here. If this is our transmitter, and this is the neighborhood on which you have knowledge, and this is the tested relay node. We want to know what is the value of the function for this node. Then we have knowledge of all of these nodes, but we don't have any knowledge outside. So we need to take into account the probability that each of these nodes will transmit, and then what will be the effect on the distribution of the interference here, but also take into account the Poisson point process distribution outside of our neighborhood. So we can't do it by Monte Carlo simulation. The distribution is known, but quite complicated. In order to simplify it a little bit, we can optimize instead the expectation. Instead of the performance metric, we can optimize a bound on this performance metric. I had some nice figures. So our bound basically uses the Jensen's inequality. However, as I'm sure you're well aware, the expectation of the interference power that we want to take here is not finite. So what we do is condition it on some guard zone around the receiver. So we basically draw a guard zone around the receiver. We say that if there is any interferer inside of this guard zone, we have nothing at all. If this guard zone is empty, then we can do the Jensen's inequality here. So this is the probability that this guard zone is empty. And this is the expectation. This is the Jensen's inequality with the expectation in the denominator. And now this is something that we can evaluate, even in closed form, at least for some values of the path loss. But since we do have different distributions in different regions in the plane, just writing this closed form, this expression, J1, J2, and J3, and this probability, took us something like half of a page. So we do have a closed form for that. I'll show you that it also gives good performance, but it's not something that I can give to a network engineer. And therefore, we look for something even simpler. And for this, we introduce the idea of narrow knowledge, which means that we don't change the optimization problem, but when we do this expectation, instead of taking into account all of the knowledge, we take into account only the knowledge of the tested relay. So this makes things much, much simpler. Sorry. Because we still know the distance, we still know the channel gain, but this idea of narrow knowledge gives us no knowledge on the interference. So basically, the transmitter has to assume that the interference just follow a Poisson point process in all of the plane. And this is something that we know to characterize much better. Still, we don't have a closed form expression for that, but we can at least think about a practical scenario in which the transmitter just monitors the interference statistics that he measures when he's receiving. And the same statistics will also hold for any tested relay. So it can evaluate this expectation. But I don't think that any network engineer will actually want to do such an evaluation of the expectation. So we again turn to our bound. And when we turn to this bound, basically, as we know no specific knowledge on the interference. We just do simple expectation on a Poisson point process. So this probability here is easy to evaluate, but it's also identical to all tested nodes, so we don't really need it. And this just becomes a constant. And basically, we can just choose according to the optimization of this simple function here. Just the multiplication of the distance and log of 1 plus the channel gain multiplied by a constant. And I think that this is simple enough. So we don't go any simpler than that. I will just show you some examples. And just as a reference, we just show two of the common alternative routing matrix, geographic routing matrix. So this is the nearest in cone routing matrix, but since we don't care for a direction, it's just choosing the nearest neighbor. And this is the furthest neighbor within a radius, but of course in this case we need to do also an optimization on the radius. And this is our performance for alpha equals 3. So these are the competitors, and of course we must show that we're better than them. But the nice thing here is that we know exactly what is the best that can be done. This is the blue line here. You can't get any better than that as long as you have only your local knowledge. Our bound optimal relaying, where we replace the numerical expectation by our bound, gets this dotted red, which is very close. And you can note that the two alternative, very simple alternative, also get us very good. Maybe you can even distinguish them here for alpha equals 4, so we just lose a little bit. Now, according to the time I have, I will keep or not keep my promise for multiple antenna.
I would say 3 minutes, maybe 5.
Okay. So maybe just the ideas and not any more. So basically, what is different when you have multiple antennas? Well, our space of parameters is larger. We're not only looking to choose the next relay. We also need to figure out how do we precode the data. If you want to use MIMO, how many streams do we want to use? How do we precode them? What will be the processing in each of the tested receivers? And that makes the choice, the optimization, much more difficult. At this step, we took some simplifying assumptions. I will not go into all of them, but it is much more complicated. I would just want to point out the main complication. Even after we assume some simplifying assumption that, for example, we do just eigenbeamforming and things like that, a major problem is how to choose how many streams we want to send to each of the relays. So basically, we are left with the choice of the desired relay destination and how many streams we are going to send to it. And this choice of the number of streams has two effects. On the one side, it affects the processing that the desired receiver will do. And on the other hand, the choices of all other transmitting nodes on their number of streams will affect the distribution of the interference, of the spatial correlation of the interference. So it becomes more complicated. I can admit that we cannot solve it. We can write the expectation for the closed form, for the exact optimal, not the closed form, the exact optimal routing, but it's even too difficult to simulate it because it has too large parameter space. But yet, we can derive some simple routing matrix, which they are here in the presentation, and I'll be glad to discuss them offline, but of course, do better than current routing options. Of course, it's not completely fair to compare our routing to nearest neighbor routing or other things because we give ourselves an advantage of knowing the channel, at least partial information of the channel. So it is expected that it will be better. But if you think about it, it's not trivial to combine this channel information into routing decisions. I mean, if we have if we just give the channel information and we know the distances, we need some way to put these two factors into one equation that decides what is the optimal choice. And that is, I think, the larger contribution of this work. So just to conclude, we presented a routing metric, which is an exact optimization of the channel performance. We also introduced a lower complexity routing metrics, all of them take into account the network statistics and a partial knowledge of the neighborhood, and we showed some good routing. Thank you.
Question, do you have any feel for how sensitive this is to noise or error in the knowledge, etc.? Simulator or anything to see how sensitive?
No, we did many simulations. It's not very sensitive. Actually, since the constants that we have there are based on bounds, they're not the optimal constants, and they're still working very well. We tried to also optimize these constants, so we get something a little bit better, but we can say that it's not very sensitive to the choice of constants or to the exact path loss or things like that. So that was one. Thank you.
Thank you.